Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Big Facts No Cap, the only podcast that's number one with G.I. Joes and all the area codes where Paul has no hoes. I'm Adrian, as always, here with Paul. Let's get big factin'. Let's get no capping.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap. Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
All right.
All right, all right, all right.
Well, I didn't realize we had a guest host. I would have said that at the beginning. We got normal Bob on the pod.
I thought you were going Matthew McConaughey. You're coming in hot today with that intro. What was it? Area codes where Paul has no hose?
Yeah. That's all of our biggest markets.
And now you're calling me normal, Bob, because I shaved off my beard. Okay.
I mean, it was genuinely like I had like an uncanny moment where I was like, what did Paul do? What's going on with him? Why does he look so smooth?
I was also dancing to Smooth Criminal by Michael Jackson
mm-hmm.
as we came into frame.
Not the Alien Ant Farm version?
You know that song's conservative now, right?
In what sense?
Just in the sense that I think conservatives have claimed it as, like, when whites were great.
Oh, you know what? That's true. When whites were great. Not anymore.
We used to make real music in this country, not that hip-hop bullshit.
We used to make that. Now, what's going on with you, Paul? You missed a great game.
Oh, yeah. It's like you were texting about it.
Yeah. Absolutely mental.
What happened? You said it was one of the craziest semis to ever hit the books.
Yeah. I like how you... I don't know why that made it sound like a truck and not like a game. But I would think I would pronounce it semi if I was talking about a soccer game. First game between Barcelona and Inter ended 3-3. We go into this game, Inter take a 2-goal lead just like the last game, and it ends 3-3 with the third goal from Inter coming in like stoppage time or like the very, like very, very end of the game. Stoppage time happens. Everyone assumes Inter's playing for penalties. Boom, they get a good break. Infratesi scores a goal. They hold on to the lead. No penalties. Inter goes through 7-6 on aggregate. Insane game.
Would people agree who weren't as big Inter fans as you are?
I'm not an Inter fan. I actually quite hate them.
Oh.
Yeah. I really hope they don't win the whole thing.
So it's not... Wait, is Inter Milan then? They're the baddies of Milan?
Well, they're not like... Well, it depends if you're saying it. Are you doing it the cool hip way to mean bad or like the old way meaning bad?
Okay. They're the heels.
Yeah. They're the heels. The heel of a long loaf of bread. Yeah.
Okay.
So now I guess I'm rooting for Arsenal or PSG. I don't really care, but we can't have them winning a Champions League. It was fun. Pierce was at my usual spot. I was just at my neighborhood spot because it was easier to get to from campus. I had to go to campus this morning. I had less of a fun vibe where I was. It was like four guys watching the game together, but, you know, at least everyone was well-informed. You know, that's like a pet peeve of mine is people who are dumb talking about soccer.
Whereas on this podcast, we only talk about things we're experts in. We don't switch themes constantly and opine on things we have no idea about.
I've always said my podcast needs to mirror life. That's what I've always said.
Okay.
This podcast is a mirroring
like,
of what I think an ideal
like
life
we're
is.
Asking for, it seems like you're getting upset at people for a very human thing of like not always being an expert.
Yeah.
Okay.
Come at me. What is this? Dax Shepard's podcast?
Oh, what does he do? I don't.
Armchair expert.
Oh.
You know, I have such a seething hatred of Dax Shepard. This is one that's vibes-based. It's not really a celeb enemy thing. I just don't like his vibe. That when people do the, like, him and Zach Braff look exactly the same, I'm like, no. Zach Braff is a handsome man. Dax Shepard looks like a little weasel man. They don't look anything alike.
I just don't like the facial expression he's making on Armchair Expert. I feel like I know the podcast you're talking about. I don't like what he's doing with his face.
What's the cover?
Isn't it, like, him doing a wide, yawny thing into the mic? It's like...
Oh, let me see. Oh, yeah. That is weird. I don't like that. Yeah. Don't like him. Don't like his wife. It was not an...
I don't care for his children. His dog, frankly, I could do without.
I hate his favorite vegetable. It wasn't an argument, but it was like a point of disagreement that like my old roommate was once showing me a video of Dax Shepard surprising Kirsten Bell. on a talk show with like a sloth because she likes it or something. And she was like, aren't they just like couple goals? Don't you love them or whatever? And I was like, no, I find both of them insufferable.
Okay. This was a female roommate, not Tin. I was like, what a weird thing for Tin to show you and be like, aren't they just cute together?
Hey, he believes in love. He believes in a thing called love. And that's when I had to break it to her. I was like, no, I find both of those people insufferable.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing to, I don't know if I'm as upset at it as you are, but it's an interesting thing to, like, take so much note of that you show people, you know? Like, Dax Shepard bringing a sloth out to, I have to assume, Ellen. I don't know what show he did it.
Yeah, that's probably a good guess. Before she got canceled the second time.
It just seems like that's something, like, moms know about, like, who our age is, like, clocking that, remembering it, and insisting they need to show people.
Cool people.
Yeah. No offense to your ex-roommate, but...
Oh, I've only talked negatively about her on this pod.
Odd behavior.
Odd behavior. Nowadays, they'd have you committed for that.
They should be showing you, like, a weird, ironically bad hip-hop. That's what you show people on YouTube.
Yeah.
That's cool.
You should be showing people a song that has to be taken off of streaming later because the white guy ended up being a MAGA guy. Do you check out any of those fits from the Met Gala?
I've seen them, yeah. I don't know if I have opinions. Do you?
I don't think anyone looked particularly bad or good. I think Janelle Monáe had a funny outfit, but yeah, I don't know. If I was tasked with being invited to the Met Gala and had to like meet a stylist to like figure out what I was going to do, that seems so stressful. Because they, you know, everyone expects me to, like, you know, do my classic gender bending, you know, F you, middle finger to society.
Is that you?
And it's expectations.
Or is it just one time you wore a pink vest?
A pink vest?
I don't remember this, but you told me that one time you had a pink vest on, and I said, what are you, NB now? And that really stuck with you?
Oh, I was wearing a pink jacket, yeah. Well, it didn't really stick with me. It was just funny.
Well, it stuck with you enough that I don't remember the jacket, but I remember the story of you telling me I said that. I was like, oh, that was mean to me.
I can pull it out. It looks like an old granny jacket.
That was kind of mean to me.
Yeah, that's crazy behavior. As someone who's coming out as NB at some point in his life, that's crazy behavior to do. You're lashing out.
Wait, me or you?
You.
Well, yeah, but that's after I'm canceled to try to dodge the allegations.
The old Kevin Spacey. That way you can like misdirect the conversation in subreddits and be like, hey, just because you don't like Paul doesn't mean you can misgender him. Them. Fuck. No, that's all I had for Media Roundup. I guess is that soccer game I watched today.
A while back, Wicked came onto Peacock. And so I watched it in two goes because very long film.
It's a long ass movie.
Yeah, yeah. So I finished it up last night or two nights ago. And I think I'm kind of pulling an Adrian right now. I have nothing interesting to say about that film, but yeah, it was good. I will say that I like that the movie took a woke point that I've argued with you about. It took my side. Mm-hmm. Galinda, whenever the sheep is trying to pronounce her name and can't because he has an accent, very reflective of the argument we've had about whether or not it's offensive to mispronounce people's names. And my point always being that, like, people have accents. You can't always pronounce people's names, like, if you don't have those syllables in your language. It's just not that easy. And I feel
so you
vindicated.
Think people are like magic goats.
I think, like,
who have goat accents.
I think the metaphor of the magic goat of having sounds and vowels and consonants that you can't say is sometimes just a reality we live in.
So you believe in the message of her changing her name later on in honor of those who are able to say it. You believe that we should conform to
that. That was very
it.
Obviously okay, the yeah, movie yeah. making a joke about virtue signaling. That was apparent.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was. That's what the movie that's following a plot from a book from 25 years ago was doing.
You know, we didn't have the word virtue signaling, but obviously people had recognized the concept a long time ago, Adrian.
You say
timeless
so.
Timeless concept.
What was your favorite song?
Oh, I mean, you were right. Define Gravity.
Did I say it's my favorite or did I say that it just makes me cry sometimes?
Well, I think it was very clearly to me like the standout.
Yeah, there's some good ones in the second act, though. No good deed goes unpunished.
I had never really seen the story before, so I really was shocked when it turned out the Michelle Yeoh's character was a villain. I was like, no! I thought she was stern, but with a heart of gold. I didn't expect her to be stern, but with a heart of evil.
I thought she was just a tough mom for an immigrant child. I didn't think she was going to do all that.
Maybe because I watched it in two parts, I forgot she has a kid in the movie?
No, that's an Everything Everywhere All at Once, just because you were saying Michelle Yeoh and not her character.
Cool. Yeah. Well, do you want to get into the theme, Adrian?
Sure. Let's do it.
Action figures.
Action figures. Let's chop it up.
Come on. Let's chop it up.
Favorite action figure you had as a kid?
Oh, do you remember from the... now I'm struggling to remember if it was the second or third episode 2 or 3 of Star Wars. Do you remember there was like this cyborg with 4 arms and lightsabers in each arms, in each hand?
Why do I feel like his name is like Jarvis or Grimace?
Grimace, yeah.
Grievous? Grievous?
General Grievous?
Grievous.
I had a like a action figure with all the joints of that moving that I really liked.
You're really into the joints. The joints being a big thing about action figures.
Yeah, the joints.
Is that how we're defining it?
Stiff action figure. That's some bullshit. You have to be able to like pose them.
I guess so. I guess I was kind of thinking of like, because you were talking about, and this will get back into the third segment, but having different action figures that you make fight each other from different franchises.
Or join each other on an adventure.
And you kind of like arbitrarily. Yeah, and you kind of like arbitrarily decide like who's more powerful or whatever. When I did that with my toys, the number one, the one that I decided that was the strongest wasn't even an action figure. It was like a little soft plush, but very bendable, of Jack Skellington.
Oh, okay.
And I decided he was the best fighter in my
crew. Because he was the biggest, because he was a plush, not an action figure?
No, more than he was just very, like, slender and bendy, and it felt like he'd be able to, like, do some moves. I don't know. He kind of had, like, the lithe aesthetic of, like, Marth in Smash Brothers. It feels like that. It felt like he had, like, a very, like, graceful but deadly energy that Jack Skellington had.
Interesting. I had a lot of wrestling action figures, I think because those were usually, like, cheap and accessible. Like, you could find those at Walmart for, like, $5 or something.
Hey, conservatives buy wrestlers, too.
And so I think that's why, you know, that was, like, the foot soldiers. You know, that really fills out the crew. When you're playing action figures as a random wrestler, you don't even really know that well. I did have an Undertaker. Shout out to Pierce.
Oh, hey, how about you undertake some bitches instead of playing with them dolls?
I remember I had friends that I would hang out with sometimes as a kid, and their move was to, like, they would almost fight the action figure. Like, part of it was, like, throwing it in the air and punching it. I was like, that is not how I play with action figures at all.
That is weird.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Yeah, my move was always to play pretend in my mind. Like, I was always like...
This is off topic, but I had a friend that I was friends with in elementary school. Kind of a weird kid. But one of his, like, things that he did was if he got mad while playing Xbox, he would throw his controller in the air. And so it was, like, a thing that I knew of because I saw him do it, and his parents mentioned the things that he broke from throwing around his controller. Like, he, like, broke, like, a light fixture or something, like, before, because he, like, just would get so irrationally angry. And I don't know why that, like, became, like, my stereotype of, like, I always considered myself a Nintendo guy, and I was like, I don't ever get that mad at any Nintendo game. Like, I think it's all these Xbox kids.
Yeah, those parents who have to, like, just have a whole drywall repair kit because their kid would punch the wall every time they lost a match. How do you have a kid who does that and you don't feel like either need to 100% take this, like, system away, like, they just can't handle the responsibility, or I need to put them in, like, can we give ketamine to kids yet for that level of trauma? Like, what do we do? Like, what, you just get...
Probably a half dose.
Like, they need to be in therapy, right? Like, even as a kid, I remember being like, these, like, because you would know these people, like, they would be your friends, and you'd be like, what the hell? Like, this is insane behavior.
Yeah. I mean, I've said it before, but yeah, I grew up with a neighbor who was a board game flipper.
Yeah. That's a little bit less bad because it's not creating permanent damage. It's more just screwing over, like, the people you're with.
It's not a good sign for someone's psyche.
I didn't do that. I did turn off a system a couple times if I got really pissed. Just hit the power...
You just stopped?
Hit the power...
That's not that crazy.
No. If you're playing split screen with somebody and you get pissed about almost losing a match, you just hit the power button. I guess that's a flip in the board of gaming.
I like that. Yeah. My friend's older brother once got really mad at me because, like, you know, in Wii Golf, that first course, you can do, like, a way big overhit and usually it'll stay on the course. And so I did that when we were playing and it did actually get off the course. And so I was like, just a quick reset. It was just my first one. His older brother got mad at me for resetting. Okay.
Well, you see, I don't think that's not that far from the flipping the board.
It was
people.
So casual. I was like, a quick reset.
You had a sense of showmanship even back then, but it came from the same place. You do have to pull off a joke. That doesn't mean it's not the same action.
I think those are worlds apart. Chime in, audience. Anyways, back to action figures. What was your... So you had wrestlers. I don't think I had any wrestlers. I remember distinctly having one of the guys from Dragon Ball Z who was in like one of the fighting tournament arcs, but it was one of the ones who didn't have superpowers. He was just like a big muscly dude. Mm.
I definitely had Batmans. I feel like I had a couple Batmans.
Oh, I don't think I had any Batman.
I had some Batman. I had a Spider-Man for sure.
I had a Spider-Man for sure.
I had the, like, you know, from Toy Story, those little green army men, the classic ones. I did have like a bunch of those.
But those don't have any joints.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But they really, kind of like the wrestlers fill out the jointed action figures, they really fill out the battlefield, you know, they let you create a little scene for everything to happen in.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been, you know how, like, John Mulaney has that joke about how, like, quicksand was, like, I really thought as a kid that was going to be a big deal in life? I really thought as a kid that having a battlefield replica on your desk and moving things around with one of those little pushing poles was going to be a way bigger part of my life than it ended up being.
Wait, did you think it was going to be a big part of your life, or did you just kind of wish it would be?
I assumed that every adult does that at some point. I was like, yeah, like at some point I'll be in a room where we're like planning a war and I'll have to like move little figurines on a little battlefield.
Why did you think you'd be part of planning a war? Did you want to go into politics or the military?
Did your brother and sister play with dolls or action figgies?
My sister had dolls. Yeah. My brother, I think, did, but he was a good bit older than me. He was 7 years older than me, so I don't think I was remembering his prime action figure days.
I guess so, but I think a lot of the figures I had were probably hand-me-downs from Nintendo.
I think the same. Like, I think those are the ones I'm struggling to remember. I don't think my parents actually bought me that many because it was hand-me-downs and, like, ones here and
there's
there.
No way I would pick that random DBZ character.
But that's why I think I remember General Grievous, because I think the movie had come out and then I saw it and asked my parents for it specifically. And so that's why he was like, oh yeah, hell yeah, this dude fucking rocks.
And then you also got like a Machamp. That way you'd be a fair fight.
Ooh. Oh. Oh, I might have had, that reminded me of people with multiple arm gimmicks. I might have had a Doc Ock.
Oh. So should we save this for another episode about multiple arm gimmicks? When that's the theme?
Yeah, I always like it whenever they're in animation, and so when they punch, the way they have to show it to you because they're getting so many punches is just like the fist appearing and disappearing.
I would be surprised if I didn't have any Pokemon action figures. I don't think I had any
those
sports
were definitely
action figures,
always though. Stiff. I think I had a couple, but it's just like more a Pikachu statuette than like a action figure.
Well, sometimes you get like a thing where the arms move, at least if not like, you know, with the elbow, but like the whole arm moves. I don't think I had a big action figure phase. I remember my neighbor having a Yao Ming action figure,
the basketball player. That's actually kind of,
I think he was big.
That's
kind
of cool. That feels like the type of thing that'd be weirdly like collectible, like it's probably like $6,000 now.
Yeah, and it was one of those, you know, it had like the little knob so you could put the basketball in his hand or take it out and you could like position him however you wanted.
Oh, that reminds me. I used to play this game with my neighbors that was like a tabletop battle game with Star Wars like figurines that were like, as you rolled them on the table, they would have clicks, and each one, every move, you got a certain amount of clicks. So you'd roll it like, you know, you'd roll it in the wheel on the bottom where you'd hear like click, click, click. And that's how you knew how far like six clicks was. And then they had like a little blaster built into them, and then you would like pull the blaster and fire it at the other person's character, and they were on little stands, and then it's like you could tip them over to kill, and so then it's like you'd go through the rounds doing that. Those were kind of action figures. Those were cool. We played that a lot. Damn. Wow, that really unlocked some memories.
There we go.
No ratatouille-ing me. You know that's the one rule of this show.
It's like we're at that Italian guy's restaurant.
Do you talk to him still?
Yeah, we chat every now and then. He's a soccer fan, so we'll talk about the games.
Mario Batali, of course, is the Italian man we're talking about.
Yeah. The old orange Crocs. Action figures. We're not bringing in Beyblades or anything like that, right? That's too far away.
Yeah, I was also like in toys, my mind's eye when we were talking about it. I was thinking of my dual deck, but that's not an action. Yeah. That's also not an action figure.
That was awesome though.
It was so sick.
What was the, if we, like, accounting for inflation, how much did that run back then? Was that, like, a $50 purchase for our parents, or was that, like, an $80
purchase?
They could
have made it.
Either way, yeah. But what you see, we got here is a product with inelastic demand. Stringer Bell comes out. I think most of the stuff I had was probably hand-me-downs from Nando or from, like, my mom's, people that she worked with who like had snotty kids or whatever, where they'd be like, here, give these to your child. Your child will appreciate them, not like my child. But I don't really remember too many of them, to be honest. I guess I probably had Power Rangers for sure. I was super huge into that when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I had those too. I think those were hand-me-downs.
I don't think I had a lot of Transformers. I don't think I was one of those kids.
I had small ones. I think they made big ones, but there was like a line of small ones my neighbor got into, so I got into it with him and asked my parents to buy me some. My neighbor was really into those Bionicles. I never had a big Bionicles phase, but my neighbor did. He was
Move along like I know you should.
Although I know, like, that's one of those things where, like, it feels like we're going to get a Curtis Connor video on it because it's, I know the
crazy world of Bionicles.
Yeah, the lore of Bionicles is apparently pretty deep. And since I didn't buy them, I never got into it, but I've heard that.
I'm not going to lie to you, brother. I don't even actually know what they are. Are they robots?
Yeah, yeah.
Or are they like aliens?
So I never did this part, but I think you buy them, build them, and then you can, I think they're robot aliens. And then you can, like,
okay.
But because building them is part of it, you can, like, unclip one of their arms and swap it with another one's and kind of, like, customize them.
Oh, do Legos count?
No. Okay. Maybe the little figurine men do? I don't know.
No joint articulation.
But when you were a kid, you didn't care about articulated joints. You kind of, like, said that was a big thing for me. I did. I wanted them to be able to, like, move their joints so I could, like, actually set them up.
I think so. I don't think that was my definition of, like, an action figure, though. But I think it's probably
That was like what made us something an action figure in my mind was articulated joints. Otherwise,
I guess
like
so.
A
if you're thinking back to the commercials, it is interesting now. Like, I guess I don't see a lot of toy commercials anymore, which I think people have like mentioned online. But I think that's probably a product of us just not seeing as many commercials anymore. But there is that thing of like the last time I saw a modern kids commercial for like an action figure. It just felt like so much of an action figure, no matter what, is the child's imagination. And so the commercial is literally like, you can pose it 30 different ways. It says 6 different things and it has a vehicle and a gun. And you're like, all right, that seems like you could do like 5 things with that.
Oh, yeah.
But like kids are like, yo.
I did like it when they came with like swords or lightsabers, but most of the accessories, I was like, even as a child, I knew myself well enough to be like, I'm losing that. Like, that's going into a big box. That's not going to be a part of it for long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, but I do remember one of the wrestlers I had, I think, came with, like, a world champ belt, like one of those wrestling belts. Ooh. I also had a life-size one of those that I liked a lot.
I was about to say, I think Pierce has one of those.
His is probably, like, an actual replica, though, not, like, a little kid's toy.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I don't know. Do you ever feel like you remember that where it's like a kid's commercial for a toy and it's like, it's a catapult that does this. And you're like, oh, it's just that. That's cool. That seems like there's not that much to it. Oh, I mean, it was the first thing everyone thinks of, but did you have anything about the old, their action figures, not dolls line or whatever that like every TV show had for a while?
No, I don't think that really ever like struck me. I do think it was one of those things where I naturally lost interest around the time you were supposed to. So it never like. It never felt like something I had to justify, I think.
That's why you never became a toy maker.
As I got into middle school, I just stopped playing with them less, more and more, until eventually I just wasn't playing with them.
But didn't you have that thing where you like were seeing that girl for a while where you kept like giving her big Thanksgiving dinners to put her to sleep so you could play with her collectible toys?
Yeah.
Yeah. Supermans.
Supermans.
Supermensch.
No, Adrian, once again, you're getting my life confused with the life of one Jerry Seinfeld, and we're similar in a lot of ways, like our support of modern ethnostates. But not in the case that I didn't make that show. That was him.
Okay. People always talk about Jerry Seinfeld dating that 17-year-old. Who is he currently married to?
Is
his wife famous?
When his daughter turned 17, do you think that he had to have a talk with her about older, creepier men?
Yeah, and how cool they are?
And how cool they are.
He was like, a couple more years, and you could start dating Bill Belichick. Oh, yeah, that was the other thing I was going to say, is that two action figures that I never got to play with were my dad's Naruto action figures that he got at an anime convention that I don't know where this thought comes from, but he did do, like, a, nope, leaving them in the box. They're going to appreciate in value, and one day I'll sell
them.
Have
y'all checked?
That's your retirement. I doubt it, but actually, I don't even know if he, because I remember they used to be on the shelf in his room, in our parents' room, and I don't think I've seen them the last few times I've been in there, so they've probably been tucked away somewhere, or maybe given away, so they might have been opened and played with at this point.
Some other kid got to enjoy them, not his own son.
Yeah, I didn't get to play with Naruto and Gaara, and that's an actual fight that happens in the show. I know how that one goes.
I'm going Super Saiyan. Can you tell I've never seen that show? Isn't that how it goes? One of them says I'm going Super Saiyan.
This feels like a put on.
Oh, you think I have watched it?
I think you're actually a massive fan and you're trying to pretend like you're too cool to watch Naruto.
Oh, wait, you're right. Dragon Ball Z is Super Saiyan. You're right. Naruto is ninjutsu.
Wait, that wasn't a joke?
It really was. I get them confused all the time. I didn't watch either of them.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Isn't the green guy with the cap Zelda? That was a real one of those from me.
Yeah, yeah, that was a real, oh yeah, I really like that show, Dragon Ball Z. Alright, column time?
Yeah, let's do it.
Alright, I'm bringing in Slate Karen Feeding, classic question that we've kind of tackled before, but in a slightly different context, so let's see. This is titled, My White Child is Buying a Doll for a Black Friend's Birthday, by Jamila Lemieux. It's from March 4th, 2020. I wonder if anything's going to happen later that month. Dear Care and Feeding. My eldest child is in kindergarten. When she's invited to a classmate's party, she helps to choose and wrap a present. I typically encourage her to pick gender-neutral gifts, but she often wants to get a doll when the kid in question is a girl. Ideally, one that fits the party's theme, like a mermaid doll for a mermaid party. My trouble is that we are white, and most of my kid's friends, and most of the children at her school, are black. For a recent fairy party, my kid picked out the first fairy doll she saw at the store, and I steered her to choose a darker-skinned version of that doll. My white kids have black dolls. If my kid chose a black doll for a white kid's birthday gift, I wouldn't object, but giving a white doll to a black child feels different. And yet, I don't want my kids to think that children should only play with dolls that match their race, or that black children specifically should only play with dolls that match their race. Am I overthinking? Should I just let my kid pick whatever gift she wants to give? Is it okay to give a black child a white doll? Should I encourage my kid to choose darker-skinned toys for darker-skinned friends? How should I explain it to my kids? Should I insist that we just stick with dinosaurs and science sets? From Is It the Thought That Counts?
Yes, you are overthinking this. You're acting like a real weirdo. Your child has definitely already sensed your odd energy, and it's given them a...
They got the ick. Your kid's got the ick.
And it's given them psychological issues that they're going to have to work through for the rest of their lives with internalized racism.
Goddamn.
No, probably not. Hopefully you didn't make it obvious to your kid. I would say in the future, if you're worried about this, yeah, steer them towards like non-doll presents like kits, or there's a whole world of toys. But in this situation, do not make your child change the toy they picked out for their friend.
If you get them a science kit, what if you get them like a chemistry set and then they feel like, well, you're saying that black people can't do physics or can't do biology?
Oh, okay. You think this is a minefield?
I think so.
This person is so weird.
Yeah, I mean, well-intentioned white people, always the best, never do anything wrong. And I think they're teaching their child good values.
I think we've had like a handful of these already from Karen Feeding, and it's always some white parent with some sort of like incredibly...
Well, the other one that I didn't choose because it's like one for one that we've done before was a baby doll that a kid got that was dark-skinned and she named it Knight. And she was like, do I need to get my kid to not name it Knight?
Yeah, yeah, because wasn't the other one we had like that where they got a monkey and called it Chocolate Monkey?
And Spooky Monkey or Black Monkey? I can't remember.
I think they called it Chocolate, like right? But maybe I'm wrong. And the parent was worried that was racist. It's just like, man, liberal America.
The innocence of children.
I mean, but this is a type of thing where it's like, why are you giving conservatives the dunk of being this weird about race where they get to be like, you're actually the ones who are constantly thinking about and judging people based on color. It's like, that's obviously not true broadly, but there is a certain subset of like upper middle class NYT Slate Atlantic readers who are weird about race, obviously. So what advice should we give this parent?
What would the anti-racist baby do?
Spray paint it blue, so then it's nobody color.
Oh, it's blue, da-ba-dee-da-boo-da.
Make her get Smurf dolls for her friends.
No, what I was going to say is, oh, It's funny because I actually think that the overthinking in the beginning was good. We generally try and go for gender neutral gifts. I think that's fine. That's a good way to like try and pick out your gifts. It's just when this race thing happened that it became kind of weird. I don't know. I think at worst you're facilitating a microaggression.
Did you ever, when you were a kid, like, you know, when you got those like class wide invitations to a birthday party and you'd go to it and you wouldn't know the person that well, and you'd be like, your parents would be like, what should we get them as a present? You'd be like, I would be like, I have no clue. This one's on you, mom and dad. My vote is get me something, not them. If you're asking me to buy something.
Get me some McDonald's and get me a toy.
But if we have to get him something, I'm leaving it up to you. I don't really know this kid.
I feel like I don't really remember a lot of the everyone in the class got invited birthday parties that I went to. I do remember the time in high school where a girl invited all of us who were in IB to her birthday party and none of us came and the teacher called us assholes.
Oh, I would have thought that was one of those stories where you were the one person who did come and then you felt weird
I think I thought about it, but like I didn't really make a note of it. Yeah. I think the reason that I thought about going to that party is because she had talked before about how her parents had a really well-stocked pantry with snackies for guests. I was like, yo, that sounds pretty lit over there. I'm going to go get some Cheez-Its. So gifts for other kids. This is why you should just buy them a gift card for a Fortnite battle pack. That ain't got no color. Ain't got no creed.
Is that what kids ask for nowadays?
That's what my friends ask for. That's what our same-aged friends ask for.
That's up there with, remember when it was like in middle school, like an iTunes gift card was kind of the go-to?
Yeah. I remember once getting a Best Buy gift card as a gift that I just completely transferred over to an iTunes gift card so I could buy stuff on iTunes.
What were we fucking doing from like 2006 to like 2010? What were we doing paying $1 per song? What an insane time for like actually listening to music.
Yeah, hey, at least the artist got paid.
I guess people were just torrenting mostly once we got past, like, that very middle school age.
Also, wasn't there that thing where, like, premium songs at a certain point became, like, $1.29?
I think so.
They were running us ragged.
It's like you would get, like, a $20 gift card. It's like, ooh, 20 songs I can listen to.
Yeah. It's living insane large. That the thing that, I guess probably that's still a thing if we went to the iTunes store, but... the buying single episodes of TV was always crazy to me.
Oh yeah, because I do remember scrolling through that though on iTunes because I was like, well, I want to be able to have the thing to put on the iPod so I can watch it on the tiny screen on a car ride, even though it's gonna take up the whole memory of the iPod, but it'll come in handy on a long car ride. It's like, no, it won't, Paul. You don't need to spend $5 on an episode of The Big Bang Theory.
Your favorite, Bazinga.
Bazinga.
Okay, so for this doll, what are we deciding on?
At this point, don't give your kid a weird psychology about this. Just move on from this instance.
It seems pretty straightforward. The kid chose it. If you need to throw somebody under the bus, throw your child under the bus.
Could you imagine if these parents or anybody else was a freak enough to take note of this and be weird about it? They would be the one person in the story weirder than you, the question asker. So, no, I don't think. What was their concern? That it would just be odd or they would be judged for getting them a white doll?
They wanted to have representation for the person getting the gift. But she also doesn't want her child to think that anybody can't just play with any doll.
Yeah, I think the second instinct is the correct one. I wouldn't worry about the representation. If the parent cares about that type of thing, they have plenty of black dolls. It's fine.
Yeah. They're going to an NOI household.
They need a token white doll so that they can... it's like Wild and Out, where you need to have one white person to make jokes about the raisins and the potato salad at. They need a token white doll so when they're playing doll, they can be like, oh, you don't even spice your chicken.
You gotta give him a Maddie with a fatty.
Yeah.
It's a good idea. I mean, I don't know. You're getting the kid a gift for their birthday. What are they gonna do, complain?
Yeah.
Call you racist? In today's America? Maybe. All right. Do you want to hear the answer?
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right. Honest moment, if I may. I chose this letter for two reasons. First, because it reminded me of one of my all-time favorite TV moments, when Larry David inexplicably purchased a biracial baby doll for a white couple's baby shower, as well as a stuffed animal for the family surrogate. It also reminded me of two of the times in my life that I was gifted white dolls. When I was about 5, my white grandmother gave me a clown that played Somewhere Over the Rainbow, and I wept every time I looked at it because I was disappointed that she'd done that, but also horribly guilty about not appreciating the gift. The song still makes me tear up, to be honest. The other one was a pre-Christmas grab bag at a friend's church a few years later. I was basically dabbling with religion so I could do things like get free gifts at holiday parties. Perhaps I'd be a Christian today if they'd just considered that all the kids at the event were black, so the dolls should have been as well. See, there's a big difference between a black girl playing with a white doll and a white girl playing with a black one. Oh, you're right. She's taking it seriously. There's no shortage of images in the media, from children's TV shows and movies and literature, that affirm the value of white girlhood. It is improbable that even a white child who attends in a black school and lives in a black community would become convinced that her hair, her skin, her eyes are inherently deficient, or at the very least somehow lesser, than that of the dark-skinned kids around her. Conversely, even black girls who function in exclusively black spaces are subject to a Eurocentric standard that teaches that her beauty and worth are determined by her proximity to whiteness. Black dolls are an important tool for teaching kids of all races that black is beautiful and equal. They can also be more difficult to find in certain areas than they should be, and sadly, there are black parents who either don't understand the trouble with failing to build an exclusively or primarily black doll collection for their children, or lack resources to make it a priority. Please don't buy a black child a doll unless it is a black doll under any circumstances. One could make the argument for buying non-black POC dolls for a black child, but black girls are subject to the notion that these groups too have prettier hair or are somehow more beautiful because they aren't black. If a kid's family wants to diversify her collection, they can do that themselves. There are many black fashion and baby dolls available online. They often come very cheap, and the gesture will mean more than you or your child receiving the gift may realize. Bonus points for finding one that is similar in complexion or appearance to the baby girl. The Barbie Fashionistas line is amazing for this.
Yeah, well, different advice than we gave. I still think I stick by what I said. I don't feel like I've been shamed into thinking it's actually a big deal.
Mm. So we're ignoring the black woman's voice. Okay.
No, I think it's a fair perspective. It's just what I disagree with. I think you're always allowed to filter that for your child. If these parents care, they can hide the doll away or something when their daughter isn't paying attention to it. They can, I don't know. It feels like you're giving your kid weirder ideas about race by insisting she buys a black doll for a black family. Then you're doing harm to the black child who's receiving a white doll, where they can make a choice.
So you don't like the advice
house.
That you need to print out a picture of her so you can get the CMYK value of her skin color and then match that to the doll.
Okay, I'm gonna. I don't know why I do feel like since I've been disagreed with, I have to defend my position on woke grounds. But yeah, it just feels ridiculous. It does.
I don't see why the solution isn't just give her a white doll and tell her that it's ugly.
Oh, yeah. This is Ugly Annie. She's a new type of doll. It's basically like a troll doll. It's like funny how ugly she is.
Mm-hmm.
You give it to her with a pair of scissors, then you're like, go to town on her hair. Give her the craziest haircut.
Yeah, you give her white dolls and then you teach her that white is ugly. Seems like a solution to me.
I like it. Everybody's happy.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the best way to go forward. I'm synthesizing your points and Jamila's points.
And that's dialectics if I've ever heard it.
All right, Paul, you ready for your call?
All right, Adrian, I'm bringing in Scary Mommy, who I think we've brought in before.
We have, yeah.
My family members have an issue with my son's baby doll. Dear Scary Mommy, my 4-year-old son loves to play with his older sister's baby dolls. He always has. He likes to play with them, with her, and also by himself. He loves taking care of them, dressing them, feeding them, and changing their diapers. It doesn't bother me or my spouse at all, but our family have made comments here and there, little jokes about how he needs some monster trucks or action figures, both of which he has and also loves. I find it all insufferable and outdated, to be honest. We got him two of his own dolls, so he's not just stuck with his big sister's hand-me-down toys and a few other doll-related items for Christmas. And I'm dreading the family reaction. We're zooming the present opening so our parents can watch, and I need to make it clear that judgy comments won't be tolerated. Hell.
All right, should we get into this? Did you play with any Barbies, Paul?
I did not.
Oh, really? I think I played with some of Dorothy's dolls. You didn't even do that thing where you, like, peeked to see what their private parts look like?
Oh, well, yeah, of course. Come on now.
Oh, okay, okay. You ain't playing with them. That's business. I mean, I think the easy answer is that you're on Zoom. You're pretty in control of, like, muting people and stuff like that if you're the host.
Yeah, but also, like, what, you want to be doing, like, on-the-fly editing?
Yeah. Can you imagine doing that to your parents where, like, they already don't know the technology and they're, like, being silenced and they're like, I don't know what's going on. I was just saying the poor boy was being un maricón.
Have you heard when people are like, oh, I raised my kid just without any of society's notions of gender. They just happened to become really boyish. And it's like, that absolutely is not true. Boys don't just naturally like monster trucks. That's something that, if that's existed for 50 years, there's no like atavistic desire in boys to like monster trucks. Like, it's clearly somewhat culturally learned. It's so funny when people pretend it's like a timeless truth about boys
that they like, you think monster that's what they're trucks. Doing?
No, I think I'll just bring it up that point because it does make me laugh when people say stuff like that. Like, oh yeah, the girl just turned out girly and the boy turned out boyish. Mm-hmm. It's like, maybe, but also you probably didn't realize how many small nudges there were along the way from family and friends. And
yeah, that's what I was gonna say, is that you can remove yourself from that equation, but like, there's still so much there.
This does sound really annoying. Let the boy live. Let the boy play. Let the boy learn.
Hey. Let him work, let him live. That's what I always say.
I know. Mm-mm-mm. That's like for a, how old was he? A 4-year-old to be being judged so heavily?
Yeah. And he's so, he just likes both things. He's just bi.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A straight man could never like children. That would be gay.
Mm-hmm.
Give him a black baby doll just to see if that's a multiplier effect.
Ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a good idea. Get him a female action figure. Split the diff.
Ooh.
Get him a woman wrestler.
I will say, based on my nieces and nephews, they really, like, the difference between a baby doll and, like, a action-y doll or a plush, all of that really is, like, how we categorize these things. These are very malleable in their mind. Like, my niece, I got my nephew a Stormtrooper plushie, and my niece co-opted that gift, and she just loved it as a baby doll. She just insisted that, it, like, she would, like, take the, like, little bottles from other toys and feed the store. Like, she was just like, no, this is my toy and it's a baby.
That's a grown ass man.
Like a baby.
That's a soldier in a war.
And maybe they wouldn't be a soldier fighting a war if they'd had that sort of tender love and care as a baby.
Oh, she's doing that thing that that lady did to Vladimir Putin.
She's rehabilitating that baby, yeah.
Okay. Healing his inner child.
So I don't think these things are as, segmented in the mind of the 4-year-old boy. I'm sure you could but well, whatever, even doing that just to make the in-laws happy is bullshit, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, you know, I feel like I've become self-conscious about whenever I use the word female instead of woman. I think I used it right there. Did I tell you that I was watching a Jubilee video? It was a new format. They do a lie detector test with different sets of people. In this case, it was ex-couples. But there was a comment about one of the guys who I think was religious of some sort that played a part in, like, why they broke up or whatever. But he used the term females to just, like, talk about a group of women or something. And people in the comments were talking about how weird that was. And it was very funny to me to hear people defend it and be like, I don't understand what's weird about it. That's correct. That's true. If you want to know, the exact, like, phrase was like, yeah, I mean, I had my boys over and obviously they brought their females. And it's like, no, how does that not just, like, grate your ear and sound super weird? Wokeness aside.
I think it's because it's trying to make, like, a biological essentialism to the behavior of women instead of, and whereas men are, like, free to be sort of way.
Yeah.
I guess. I think I also use females sometimes, so I'm not going to go in hard on it. Got to
protect
myself.
I don't know, like, saying, oh, yeah, yeah. All right. Well, anyways. So, for the...
It reminds you of when, like... antinatalist people use the term breeder. It's like, why are you using, like, I don't know, like, the biological reality as a way to describe a human being.
Yeah. So it seems like the issue is that the doll is his main presence, so they can't just omit it during the Zoom.
I think they're taking a stance that they shouldn't have to hide that about their son.
Yeah, that's probably true. All right, well then when he opens his gifts, pretend that there's technical difficulties and turn off the camera.
Ooh.
But I guess that goes into what you're saying, is that they're not trying to hide it. So in which case, if the question is just how do we tell them that they need to be polite, I don't know. Let's just tell them they need to be polite.
Well, I think a lot of people play that. They really play that line of like, oh, it wasn't impolite. It was a little joke. Who cares? I think a lot of people who are like snide remark people really give themselves that out for like, oh, you're taking it too far. It was just a little joke.
All right. Anything else for this kid? They're all going to be real sorry when he ends up being a big fashion designer in New York City.
Or a dad.
Or a good dad.
They're going to be pissed when he's a dad who's actually there to take care of his kid instead of, you know, off playing golf during the birth or whatever.
He's a dad who's like, he's a dad who's really big on, don't call it babysitting. It's called being a parent either way.
Well, you know, men actually have it worse than women in today's society. So
we're becoming one of those podcasts?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Adrian, let's gotta get these views.
That's true.
We're trying to get our views up. Come on.
Paul, can I do our next segment sponsored by Coors Light?
Ooh.
Used to be sponsored by Bud Light, but we don't do that anymore.
We don't do that anymore, not since they went woke and then went broke. Yeah,
then we went broke.
Now they don't have the money to pay us.
Mm.
All right, how can you trick your parents into being normal, decent human beings?
Show them that article about how, historically, how pink used to be a color for baby boys and blue used to be a color for baby girls, and tell them that it switched back around.
Adrian, you gotta take these things slowly. You don't want to turn their minds into mush.
What do you mean? They just do like one of those, like, you know, just tell them, like, you know how like Republicans and Democrats switched at one point? It's like that. They did that again. So now dolls are cool guy things.
Mm.
Wait, it's Zoom. Add a filter.
Now this idea, I like.
One of those blur out filters, or do you think that you could do like do a little tracking thing where it changes?
Yeah, I think it's got to make it look like a G.I. Joe.
Yeah. It puts like a little like, cowboy hat on, whatever.
Why is he putting a diaper on his G.I. Joe? Don't worry about it.
I'm healing his inner child. He's got PTSD from the war.
You have to shit your pants. He just knows these things. That's
true. He's got PTSD from the war.
You don't have time to go to the bathroom in the battlefield.
Mm.
Do you want to hear the answer?
Yeah.
I'm so glad your son has two supportive parents who lovingly encourage his hobbies and interests, full stop.
Is something really?
A child likes a hobby? I think he just likes playing with baby dolls. That's not his hobby.
I don't know. I'm not going to gatekeep what a hobby is.
So weird to use the word hobby on a baby.
I mean,
what is a hobby? Sucking his thumb and shitting his pants.
That's an old Tom Segura bit. That's the one where he's talking about, like, I don't like when people talk about, like liking to travel as if that's, like, a hobby. Everyone likes to travel. Like, if something's your thing, if, like, you see a guy who's just, like, banging rocks together to make smaller rocks, and he's like, that's just my thing. That's a thing. Liking to travel isn't a thing. I was gonna say, did you have any personal issues with this in your family with the... I guess you got kids in your household and stuff like that, or growing up,
No, I don't think so. I don't really. I think my nieces and nephews are pretty gendered, but I don't think anybody's pushing it on them in any weird way. So I don't know.
Mm. When I came back from Argentina and my toes were pink, my roommate started talking to me about how her niece or her nephew wanted to paint his nails, and his dad was like super weird about it. And I was like, damn, that's crazy. That
I doubt my brother or my brother-in-law would care.
I would let them do it and then get really catty about, like, them choosing the wrong color for their skin tone and being like, honey.
That blush is not working for you, son. And a big sister who's willing to share her toys with him and engage with him in his love of dolls. Anyone who would shame a child, whether indirectly or in front of him, well, it may be worth considering how much access you give them to your kids. I think it's worth having a conversation before Zoom Christmas. Tell Grandma Sally and Pop-Up Jim that Santa is bringing your son's dolls of his own because he loves them and they make him happy. Make it clear that any remarks that stray even the slightest bit from, oh, how wonderful, will not be tolerated. And if you're feeling extra generous, explain why it's important to encourage these interests.
I don't like how scary mommy went heteronormative scary. Here.
Oh.
What if it's two guys? What if it's two women?
Oh, that are the grandparents?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe it's two women.
What if it's two butch lesbians?
One, because it's something he loves and it makes him happy. And two, because he's learning how to be nurturing and empathetic and how to care for something outside of himself. The world would surely be a better place if we let little boys embrace these characteristics instead of shaming them for demonstrating love. Remember, you and your spouse are the gatekeepers to your children, and I don't subscribe to the whole family's family no matter what notion, because I firmly believe that people must consistently prove they are worthy of being around impressionable young people. Sharing blood or a name doesn't automatically grant you license to do or say or act however you want, i.e., oh, that's just how Uncle Larry is, he's old, don't get mad, is dumb. If Uncle Larry is cool with making fun of a kid, Uncle Larry should be tough enough to withstand criticism as a consequence. Maybe that sounds harsh, but think about how you would feel if they were joking about how much food your daughter eats. Children are so impressionable, and these judgments make them feel who they are and what they do is wrong. That kind of damage, no matter how brief the act itself, can last a lifetime. Let's hope a preemptive chiding is enough to deter any family members from perpetuating harmful stereotypes and giving your son a complex about his interest in dolls. If not, boundaries are a beautiful thing. I think I agree with it mostly. She kind of flip-flopped between kick them out of your life and, oh, critiquing them is always something people should be able to handle. I think, yes, you can critique them on this. I don't know if heteronormativity reaches the level of they shouldn't have their grandparents in their life. But it seemed like she flip-flopped between those two extremes in her answer, a scary mommy. At first she was like, you can kick people out of your life. And then she was like, oh, but they should be able to handle critiques. It's like, well, which one is it? If it's just critiquing them, then absolutely. Let them know how you want your children to be talked to. But if it's kicking them out of your life, that might be an extreme reaction to heteronormative jibes.
Okay. All right. I thought it was all right. It was fine. I think she's right. I think, I don't know, let him stay in his life, but they have to pay for the therapy pills later.
Oh, no, you don't ever want to ask for money because then they have power over you and your child.
Ooh, okay, that's true. They can cut off therapy at any time.
They can cut off therapy at any time if he continues to play with dolls.
Damn. All right.
All right, Adrian, you ready for the third segment?
Yeah, let's do it.
What do you always do with action figures? You take two characters from opposing world to see which one is more powerful. At least that's how I played with them a lot. Or they would go on adventures together, but it was still always characters from different worlds. Wrestlers, with Jedi, with Power Rangers, all on a grand sweeping adventure or fighting each other. So that's why our third segment is, what's that thing people say about like Avengers, like the greatest?
The most ambitious crossover?
The most ambitious crossover of all time. Me and you are doing ambitious crossovers that we want to see happen.
Oh, I don't know if mine are ambitious. Mine are just fun.
Oh, okay. Well, I think some of mine
are
ambitious.
Well, actually, I think some of mine are pretty ambitious because
really
you'd have to
be easy to get a hold of.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think you'd have to bring back some shows for mine. So I think, yeah, there's probably some ambition.
I'll let you go first.
Okay. Okay, my first crossover. Are you familiar with the, and this is the only one that I haven't actually watched, but are you familiar with the Daily Wire Plus show, Mr. Burcham?
Yes, I have not watched it though, but I am familiar.
But you are a subscriber. Mr. Burcham.
I just haven't gotten around to watching.
There's so much good stuff on that platform. It's an Adam Carolla show about a hard ass teacher who doesn't like this new woke fangled stuff that's going on. So I want him to have a crossover episode where he becomes the new teacher for a young boy named Huey Freeman, from the Boondocks.
That is fun. I already like this.
I want to see that because, I think Huey is like he's not a lib. So I think he'd probably have some of those fun points until where he break his brain or whatever when he says he also doesn't like the Democrats. And I think
they would get along. That this would be like one of those, like, they find out that they have more in common than they have against each other.
Well, now you're going like the horseshoe theory, whatever. I think Huey would absolutely despise Mr. Burcham, but I think he'd also be able to intelligently defend his points better than the mock lib soy teacher that's the other character that gets made fun of in the show all the time. And you know what? Let's bring Riley in there too. Let's do both brothers.
Oh, that would be incredible.
Yeah.
Well, that would definitely bring conflict in, because he would try to, like, he would try to get, like, Riley arrested or something for having, for having, like, a haircut he saw on Fox News that has, like, a gang affiliation.
He's gonna Photoshop a picture of his hand with MS-13 on it.
Man, I wish I'd seen more of Mr. Burcham. That would be fun, though. I wonder, okay, so are we imagining that it's written by Aaron Magruder? Magruder? Or, okay, so it's not written by Adam Carolla.
He gets to, he buys the IP for Mr. Burcham when they're doing their moving or closing sale.
Okay. The Daily Wire. When they're going under, he buys IP.
That is what that video I mentioned to you was basically about, is how the Daily Wire's only got like so much time left.
Yeah, it's so funny that they all just had these stupid little pet projects and wasted all their money. It's so funny to have that much dark funding from like rich conservatives and somehow outspend it on making web shows, the most cheap thing in the world to make.
And killer merch. We reviewed that.
I'm trying to think of like little scenarios that they would get into.
And they'd be in class, you know, he'd be teaching whatever subject Mr. Burcham teaches. I feel like if I were Adam Carolla, I would make it history. I feel like I vaguely remember an image of him with a whistle, so maybe he is the gym teacher. I think clearly the funnier or smarter thing to do if you were a cynical conservative would be to make him a history teacher. That way he'd have that one up on everybody, but I don't know.
Cool. Do you want to hear my first one?
Yeah. What you got?
Okay. I wrote a good bit for this first one, so stick with me.
Oh, okay, cool.
Okay, Tony Soprano.
Tony Soprano.
He wants to cure his panic attacks caused by his id's desire for a less meaningless existence. So, how does he do that? He needs Jess from New Girl to give him a real manic pixie dream summer.
Oh, I thought you were going to do the Inside Out characters.
Jess and Nick have broken up because Nick is not grown up enough, so Jess takes a summer teaching role in New Jersey for adults getting their GED. Jess is trying to motivate one of her many talented students, Ginger, who misses a lot of night classes, so she asks her to stay after class for a chat. Ginger says when she misses night classes, it's because she has to make her shift at Bada Bing's. Jess assumes that it's a pinball bar. There's a scene where Jess calls the boys in the apartment and explains that she can get Ginger the shifts off if she talks to the manager of Bada Bing's. Jess: he's a pinball guy. That's my sort of guy. I can speak their language. I know ballers. That's what we call fellow pinball aficionados. The reception on this FaceTime call is bad. So Schmitz, you hear him saying, not baller, that's rip club. Call cuts off. She doesn't have time to hear what they were trying to tell her. Once she gets to the door of Bada Bing's, she asks the bouncer to see the boss, and he says sure. When he walks her into Bada Bing's, you see her eyes get wide as she realizes it's a strip club, and the bouncer takes her to the back room to meet Tony Soprano. Tony is impressed by her tenacity to come speak to him, and Jess is impressed by the fact he's a fully grown man who runs a business and is respected in the community, all opposed to Nick's man-child syndrome. A running gag will be that the roommates keep trying to convince Jess Tony is in the mob on calls. Jess is always like, he's in waste management. And they're like, that means he's in the mob. That's code for mob, Jess. And Jess is like, no, he runs a strip club. How could a man who's sex positive be in the mob? He's sweet. How would he have time to be in the mob? He spends most of his time at a rustic deli with his friends. We get a montage of Jess showing Tony wanderlusty things throughout the summer. Like when she takes him record shopping and Tony's like, whoa, you like this old shit like me? And they bond over their love of Bruce Springsteen.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Damn, that was a whole spec script. Can I ask one question?
You can ask as many as you want. I'll give you two, three.
Does Tony, when he gets with this younger broad, does he eat the pussy?
You know, that's never elucidated in the show, but wait, actually, yes, it is. Carmella, at one point, is like, when she's like, why are you guys all so mean to Uncle Junior? You do it too, he gets really pissed. He's like, you never talk about that! You never tell anybody about that!
Oh, okay, so he's an eater. I didn't know that. He's a munch.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind. I'm sure Jesse will like it, yeah.
Yeah. Be a fun summer.
Who's that boy? It's Tony. It sounds not only like a fun time, but also plausible from the scenario you laid out. I don't know how the timelines work out. Tony was old in the 90s, so how old is he now?
Well, I mean, you know, you kind of play around with that stuff. You fudge the numbers a little to make it work.
Okay. All right. I'm digging it.
Maybe it's during the season where he's broken up with Carmella, so it's not a, she's not a Gumar, because I feel like Jess wouldn't want to be a Gumar.
Well, she doesn't know what it means. She thought that was someone who really likes...
He has cute pet names for me. He calls me his Gumar.
They're always calling me Harold and Gumar. Go to White Castle. Is it Jess on The Sopranos, or is it Tony on New Girl? Because it sounds like you have more of the New Girl characters.
Tony on New Girl, yeah.
Okay. All right, yeah. I think it's a good idea, and I stand by it.
All right, thank you.
All right. My second one. This is how I found out how to spell this name. I didn't know how you spelled it. So the next character, or let's do the game first, or not the game. The show that we're going to be doing is Game Changer on Dropout TV, and is going to be an episode starring the King of Games, Yugi Moto. He will be... In this episode, he will be battling against Brennan Lee Mulligan and Ify Nwadwe, two of the best players of any game on Dropout. And it's going to be a scenario in which Sam knows of Yugi Moto's title as the King of Games. And it's him specifically trying to fuck with Yugi as well as Brennan and Ify. And so it's one where the story arc is that despite all of these specifically trying to make it so that Yugi can't win, he's the king, baby, and he makes it out in the end with the help of Exodia. And it's the only episode of Game Changer to ever take place in the Shadow Realm.
I was going to say, is there a scene where Brennan is getting more and more worked up about how unfair it is that he's playing the King of Games?
Yeah, yeah. At a certain point, he's like, wait, he just like grew like 2 feet and became like an adult man. How is that allowed?
I can see it in my mind's eye, and I love it.
There's definitely like a little side conversation that's like a behind the scenes things where Ify starts to ask him about his hair.
Oh, okay.
Like, how do you get that? How do you get it like that? Yeah. And there's, you know, plenty of nice shorts that come out from it. And there is definitely a segment where it's a name that Yu-Gi-Oh card. And for Yugi and Ify, it's like blue eyes, white dragon, black eye, black eyes, red dragon. And then just the most like obscure card for Brennan.
All right, cool. Do you want to hear my next one, Adrian?
Yeah, let's do it.
Mine do get progressively shorter. You can see how much effort I put into the last time went on. Adrian, when you watch Lord of the Rings, do you feel bad for Gollum? Is that just me?
I don't actually know the plot that well, so yes.
Well, he's such a pitiable character, and it's not his fault that his mind was scrambled by the ring. So this crossover pitch is less about how well it would work and a little bit more like for me to find a way to give Smeagol a happy ending. So I wanted to put him in a world where the stakes are low and everything seems to work out for the characters.
Oh, you know, I also had a thought like that where I just wanted to put someone who's in a sad universe in a happy universe.
A fulfilling and scandalously irreverent second act for Smeagol's life. That's right. He'll be joining Carrie, Samantha, Charlotte, and Miranda on their many adventures of love, lust, loss, and triumph in Manhattan's dating scene in the newest season of Sex and the City. There's going to be a lot of comedy to mine here, like when he ordered the catfish raw at the fanciest new brunch spot Samantha had to pull strings to get them all a table at. Or when Gollum starts dating a guy who wants to have a threesome, but he can't decide if he wants to. Or when Gollum becomes Lucy Liu's new PR manager, but gets fired after using that role to get a free Birkin bag.
Are those classic Sex and the City plot points?
All based on me walking through the room as Isabel's been watching it.
Okay. I was wondering how you accrued this knowledge. Okay. So in this show, when Gollum's on the dating scene and stuff, does he eat the pussy?
Oh, yeah. Come on, okay. Now. You know he loved the fish.
What is... I know there's certain points of the movie where Gollum is, like, traveling with the gang.
But also, he's mostly dating guys, in my mind's eye. He's one of the girls.
Oh, okay. But canonically in the movie, he had a wife, didn't he?
I don't think so. I don't think they ever go over...
They don't go into his love interest?
Oh, wait. I guess Smeagol was his hobbit name. Yeah, they don't go over Smeagol's past life.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sounds cool. So wait, what are the girls' things and what does he add to the group?
You know, Samantha's like the older one who's really sexually active. Charlotte's like the fancy one who's like a little bit more reserved. Samantha's the main character who's like the writer.
Mm.
And Miranda, I don't know, she's like a high-power lawyer, I think.
Ooh. And does Gollum date Mr. Big?
No, he wouldn't do that to Carrie.
He's messy. He is messy, though.
No, come on. Come on, he's getting along with the characters. That would get him kicked out of the group, and that's not happening.
Okay, all right.
It's a happy ending for Gollum.
And, you know what? Actually, yeah, that's all my questions. I rest my case.
All right, what do you have next for us?
All right, the next one I've got. This one, I would have to pull some strings for this ambitious crossover, because one of the shows is canceled. This is Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends doing a crossover episode. When a one Eric Cartman comes to visit.
Okay.
So I'd want to see, I assume Eric is exchanging his old, no longer cool imaginary friend for someone in the house. So we get to see what kind of imaginary friend Cartman comes up with. And we get to see him interact with all of our favorite characters as he's trying to pick out a new imaginary friend who's super cool. And I think him and Blue would actually kind of get along.
Which universe does this, like, who's the show, who's writing it?
It's Eric in Foster's Home, and Trey and Matt are writing
it. One of the imaginary friends is not going to be Hitler. That's too edgy for a Foster's Home episode.
It could be Matt and Trey get notes.
Oh, okay.
You think that's his imaginary friend?
Yeah.
Is that not, like, a law in the universe that you can't imagine a person?
Oh, I don't know.
I feel like a lot of nasty teens would come up with nasty stuff. Although I think part of the premise of the show is that you lose your ability to have imaginary friends by the time you get, like, weird and sexual.
I'm glad they had to, like, really make that rule official so people knew.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like if it was written by the South Park people, the whole gag would be, oh, well, I guess it's kind of already a gag in South Park.
The Imagination Land?
Imagination Land. He would have the craziest, most disgusting imaginary characters. Yeah, that'd be a fun little cameo for, like, the squirrel, the satanic squirrel, to just do, like, a little head pop. And it's like, if you know, you know. If not, it feels like...
Oh, you know the squirrel's name.
Oh, what's the squirrel's name?
That's the joke. They're all named Squirrely.
Oh, yeah, Squirrely.
There's Squirrely and Chickadee, the chickadee. Rabbity, the rabbit. Deary, the deer. It's a good bit. Yeah, I'd like to see how he interacts with Mac. I'd like to see how he interacts with Blue. And I think also it's canon that he also crushes on Frankie.
Don't you feel like you'd be mean to the ones that don't speak English very well? Like, it's Coco?
Coco? And Eduardo, because he has an accent?
I'd feel bad for some of those imaginary friends.
And then, of course, it ends with him getting kicked out of the house and him saying, screw you guys, I'm going home.
Now, young man, you can't imagine. Oh,
him and Mr. Harriman? Can you imagine?
Now, young man, you can't just imagine a character who will kill all your enemies. Fuck you!
You're a rabbit. How are you hopping my
stupid
dick?
Stupid fucking rabbit. I can imagine what I want.
Yeah, that's my idea.
All right, cool. You want to hear my next one?
Yeah. If we're doing cut for time, the honorable mention that I had is I wanted to have Chip Skylark from Fairly Odd Parents on The Voice.
This one's a little bit more like yours, where one of them's a reality TV show. Caesar Milan finally meets his match on Dog Whisperer when Fred brings in Scooby. I just think there's a lot of fun space for hijinks here. Like when Caesar yells at Scooby to get off the couch and Scooby goes, real route, man. And when he catches Scooby at the table eating human food, so he goes to punish him. And Scooby's feet start moving in blurry circles under his body for a few beats before he speeds away. Ruh, ruh.
You mess with Scooby too much, you're going to get in those 100 fists. I'll tell you what, 100 paws. Okay, here's my only issue with that.
Mm-hmm.
Are we sure that hasn't happened already?
Do you think that somebody's had a great day named Scooby on the show?
No. I think Scooby-Doo's done crossovers with, like, everybody. Like, I don't know if Caesar Milan ever got that big, but, like, I could almost kind of see it. Oh, that was the other idea that I had, is I was going to do, like, Sherlock Holmes in the episode of The Simpsons Who Shot Mr. Burns. But I don't actually know that episode well enough. I think it's a good idea. Now that we talked about South Park, I feel like I can only think of Caesar Milan's portrayal on South Park, because I don't actually know that much about what he actually acts like. But
I
him doing
saw a couple,
him doing the
like,
little
episodes as a kid.
Him doing the little thing to... Scooby. To Scooby.
Rack off, man.
Whoa, hey, Scooby, come on now. You gotta be cool, Scoops. Like, yoinks, man. Like, what is Shaggy doing this whole time?
I said Fred because Shaggy would never bring him in, obviously.
So Fred brings him in to be disciplined.
Yeah.
Ooh, because what did he do?
I don't know. Fuck Daphne.
Nasty. He does need to be disciplined.
All right, any other points about Scooby on Caesar Milan?
Nah, I think it'd be fun. I think it'd be more fun to have Caesar do a mystery with the gang than to have Scooby on the discipline show. But that's my only note.
That really would be a crossover that would happen.
Yeah. That's what I was saying, because I could see that.
Shaggy would be like, that's fucked up, man, when he sees him disciplining a dog. You should be friends with your dogs.
Yeah, you should give him big Subway sandwiches. I like how I didn't think about the fact that sub doesn't stand for Subway, it stands for submarine.
I didn't
give him a big submarine sandwich. Okay, yeah. All right, that's all I got to say about that. All right, my last one, Paul. This is a character coming into the world of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And that character's name is Nathan Fielder, because he has a wonderful business idea for how to help the Brooklyn Nine-Nine police force. The plan? Give police samurai swords so that their encounters are less lethal than when they have guns. Also, because he's Canadian, they have to ride horses like Mounties.
Aren't samurai swords less lethal than guns?
I think that's the joke. That's kind of how the show works. Is it's him training Andy Samberg and the rest on how to use samurai swords. He definitely has to bring in an Asian guy who he hired off of Craigslist who said he was a master swordsman.
And they have to become Mounties?
Yeah, that's also part of it, yeah. He thinks that the Canadian Royal Police Force is more efficient and has a better reputation. So he's going to put them on horseback with samurai swords.
There is something about them being on horses that makes them feel less threatening. So I will say that's a good branding exercise for police.
Yeah. Horses are kind of scary, though.
And I mean, what is Brooklyn Nine-Nine but a branding exercise for police officers?
That's true. It's propaganda. Yeah, I couldn't think of a funnier idea. I was just
I've seen some episodes of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, but I don't know the characters well enough to know how they would all react. I guess, like, isn't the mean one, like, she would be like,
Oh, she would do her classic catchphrase, uh-uh.
And then Andy Samberg would, like, accidentally slice the mean captain's, like, prized mug or something. And
his corgi
to, like,
in half?
Fix it.
Yeah, cheddar.
He would have to use super glue to bring the corgi back
Actually,
together.
That basically writes itself. He sliced cheddar!
Yeah, it basically writes itself that NBC sitcom would have a scene where a dog is brutally murdered.
It would be the cold open.
Oh, yeah, the audience has basically forgotten about that.
Yeah. It would be like, he sliced cheddar. And then it would go, ba-dum-bum-ba-da. Yeah, that's all I got for you. I couldn't think of a funnier thing for him to do for the police.
All right, do you want to hear my next one?
Yeah, that was my last one.
Or my last one. A new Master of None with Freddy Krueger, and we get to watch Aziza's character get chopped up as a cathartic ending. The audience cheers.
That's so mean-spirited for South Carolina's own.
God, I just hate him so much in that show.
Damn. So this is a show. What's Freddy Krueger doing before this big finale?
They introduce him as a character in the newest episode.
Hmm. And they redo the bit where someone racistly says something about currying his favor, but because it's Freddy Krueger, it's just like a fun pun.
I don't remember that bit from the show. It's been a long time since I watched it.
I think he,
it's
like...
It's a weird chip on my shoulder that I've really held on to for too long that I don't like the show.
He gets added to a Signal chat with Pete Hegseth and some other people making a business decision that say something about trying to curry his favor, in quotes, to make it clear that it's a pun about him being Indian. And I can't remember what the resolution is. Yeah, that show really tackled, like, pretty deep topics and was, you know, pretty ahead of its time.
Yeah, I guess I'm just not a deep person. I wanted gags. I wanted goofs.
You wanted goof-em-ups?
I wanted
You wanted Eric Wehrheim? What's his name? You wanted Eric to do stuff?
Yeah. He doesn't
Does Freddy Krueger say anything about him having...
None of the friends do. The friends are cool. Okay. They can live.
Okay.
Freddy leaves all that alone. Freddy's just after Aziz.
He's solely focused on Aziz now. Okay. So that's a crossover where Freddy Krueger's in a canceled TV show, Master of None. Yeah, no notes.
Perfect
idea. How gruesome is the murder?
Aziz's character is like on a date with some girl he thinks is like a dumb bitch, and he's like, you don't like these dumplings? They're the best dumplings ever. Why, you don't understand me and how cute and charming I am. And she's like, I don't like these dumplings. And then bam, Freddy Krueger. Just all of the claws right through Aziza's back.
I think 5 would be the number of claws. Or 2 claws, each with 5 fingers. Is that how the math works out? All right. Yeah, I like it. All right, big facts, no cap, wrap up.
Yeah, big fact. When it comes to action figures, you should be about your action making figures.
Damn. Did you come locked and loaded with that? Is that why you chose this episode theme?
No, I just thought of it.
all right. And my no cap is that... when it comes to action figures, it's like me on April 20th. All about the joints, baby.